industriels et des sites web où les compagnies multinationales se battent pour les profits produits par les magnifiques communications de vos organisations. Kumbit est une coopérative de travail qui essaye d'aider les petites organisations ou les particuliers à se réapproprier leurs communications par l'hébergement de courriels et de sites web ainsi que par la création de sites web. Si c'est votre désir, contactez-nous à kumbit.
What's up, everybody? You're tuning in to Ask Miss Chris on CKUT FM. First of all, I want to start by saying thank you so much to everyone that donated last week for fundraising. Listen, we're very, very, very close to the goal. So if you still have some money to give, if you still have something, a little coin you want to send our way, ckut.ca/donate. We're waiting for you, waiting for the funds. Now to my left and to my right, baddies to my left, baddies to my right, and the words of Nikki. Like I said on Instagram today, this episode is very, you know, we're getting into some things, and I felt like I had to bring major key player and the subject because we're talking about the Montreal nightlife. So on my left, I have DJ, producer, community organizer, artist, and just, you know, just community girl when it comes to throwing the parties and making people feel safe.
Yes.
If anything, is Mossy Mugler, the one and only, the Sag Queen, to the left.
Hi, honey.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm excited to be in the studio.
Yes.
It's so much fun being at the radio station. It's like so much less pressure than being around people.
The only thing you have to do is sound nice.
Yeah, true. I can't promise that, though.
We'll try. And to my right, I have, she's not new to the show. She's been here before. Miss Sayana Barbie, you already know her. Sayana, introduce yourself.
What's up, everyone? It's Sayana, DJ, producer, and, you know, party girl. And much more. And much more. And there's much more. More I do. But, yeah, I'm ready. Thank you for having me. And, yeah, we're going to get into some things, you know?
Now, Sayana, let's start with you, because a few days ago you made a post that kind of, you know, it just picked up so much heat on social media.
So crazy.
Everybody was talking about, you know, I have Jack to my left, and even Jack saw the post themselves. So just give us, you know, a little, what happened?
So I'm not going to get too in details just because I actually don't want trouble, one. Yeah. And two, I'm like, I think a lot of people, the people that need to see it, aka the rave community, have seen it. Mm-hmm. So something happened at an underground nightclub months back on my birthday. And actually, there was something that happened to me, but I learned with the months that a lot more had happened in that club. And it's not something new. I think in multiple clubs, in multiple venues in Montreal, there's a lot of bullshit that goes around. Mm-hmm. And so some girl that I know had asked me that day if she could have the contact basically to throw a party there. And I think it's so unsafe to throw a party, girl, a party there, especially if you're a girl. So I called Monib, and I felt just of my heart just to make a post to let people know not to go there. Now, my thing is, I had no idea it would blow up like this. Yeah. To be real, I was really shocked when it blew up. Mm-hmm. No, not per, but not per. Honestly, it was a lot.
Wildfire
sensation.
It really started picking up. And I was not ready for everything after, because I really didn't think about the consequences of making a post. I didn't think of how dangerous nightlife in Montreal is.
Because you were left as the main bearer of all of this.
Basically. And my thing is, when I posted that, I actually didn't know the full extent of the problem. I didn't know the full thing that I was getting into. Mm-hmm. And so I had dozens of stories just in my DMs. Yeah. Talking about horror stories that this man has done, and I'm not gonna name him on the radio station, just I don't want trouble, but horrible things.
No.
Exactly. And so I had to archive the post a couple hours after, because there was just too much. And then I started receiving threats, and I'm gonna leave it at that. But that's basically just the rundown of the quick story that happened last week.
A mess. And for those who don't know, that are listening right now, that place, you named it earlier, right? You did. Okay, let's not name it.
I said an underground party, because also my thing with that post is I don't want it to have bad repercussions on the underground scene. I think we can create an underground, and that's what we're going to talk about today, but like we can create an underground scene. We can have raves that are safer at mm-hmm. least, because obviously we cannot act on people's single little things that they do, but yeah. safer. And so, yeah, I just, yeah.
Yeah, just a sense of community, like was said on the flyer, because the thing about that place is, for the ones who know and the ones that don't know, this place is nothing new. This was one of the mm-hmm. This is one of the first places I ever went partying through, you know, six, 7 years ago.
Same.
Yeah, you know, it's been here for so long, and that makes you think, because like you said, there were so many stories, and that brings that question. So if so many people had their own bad experiences and so many people knew, mm-hmm. how come nobody spoke up before that?
Facts. You know?
Danger.
It's exactly, the people were scared, and that tells you how, mm-hmm. go ahead, Monique.
But like, I mean, an issue with venues in Montreal is that we like really have a lack venues here. So I think like that desperation for a space to do an underground party exactly. probably got in the way of a lot of people's like coming forward and bringing up issues, right? Yeah. Which is why what Sayana is doing is so important with her GoFundMe and her business mm-hmm. to try and get like a space open for trans queer folk, which is safe and like safely operated by the girls for the girls. Like, there's nothing like that here, you know what I mean?
And not necessarily just for queer and trans people, but for everybody ran by trans and queer people. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, if everybody that is straight and cis runs club and everybody gets in there, trans, queer people, my club is trans and queer owned. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, you know, I just want a safer space. And I'm sorry, the girls are safer.
Yeah. The girls know the tea.
Yeah, they
really do.
And that's exactly. And that, I love the fact that you talked about how it's almost like a level of desperation to a certain extent, because not only the place, you know, not being safe in terms of the management, mm-hmm. it's just, it always saddens me because it is, and I'm choosing my words carefully, but it is the gutter. Yeah. You know, this place was the gutter. Yeah. And the fact that us as queer people, there's nothing else, because, you know, you girls know better because you girls throw a party, you girls do events and stuff like that. So y'all know how hard it is to get an actual nice venue. Like, people mm-hmm. don't really want to work with us. That talk about that.
Yeah. You know. Like, bitches walked out of that place survivors. Like,
survivors.
But like Miss Chris was saying, I just think it is a sense of desperation. Because, but also my thing is, like, we have to understand that place is underground. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I want to say that on air, child, but it is not necessarily legally owned. You know what I'm saying? So it's in COVID. I know it might sound really problematic to say, but there was still parties there. Listen, we're talking in the summer when there was already parties outside. So I think the risk for COVID is pretty much the same if it's a crowd, right?
Yeah.
But it was the only inside venue open. Yeah. So whether people want to see it as, you know, COVID not safe, I understand that it's not COVID safe, but nightlife is something that will never stop.
Yeah.
Whether people want to stop it or not, it will really never stop. And it will actually never stop. Yeah. So if it's only club, it's...
I mean, like, we also do have some options in terms of, like, getting mainstream clubs to host our events and stuff like that. Like, for example, what I tried to do with the last Outrageous, I tried to have it at a club that's, you know, reputable and known around Montreal as somewhere that a lot of people had their first queer experience.
Almost like a gay staple here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, their first gay clubbing experience, and it meant a lot to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I think going there and working there are two different things.
Yeah.
And yes, it's not an underground venue, and yes, it's not DIY. And with that comes the responsibility of dealing with bookers and owners who only look at you with money in their eyes.
Yeah.
Like, they're not concerned with our safety. They're not concerned with how they're treating the people there. They're just looking at us as, like, the way to pay the rent or, like, their next bill or their lavish lifestyle or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
And I came to realize that after working with this club, like, after... Could I spill?
Yeah, you should. Because that one, you know why that one you should spill? Because they don't have... I don't want to say they don't have nothing to lose. They do have to lose. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, y'all are a real business. Y'all shouldn't even be scamming people like that. Yeah. No shade, but...
High key. I mean, to be honest... like, after the party, we had a really good party. Let's start there.
Let's start there.
Shout out Outrageous.
Shout out Monique.
Shout out Outrageous.
Yes.
That was a real lit party, and y'all brought the energy, and y'all brought the vibes. It was really fun. And I honestly think the night went perfectly in my eyes. I think it was one of the best nights I've ever had, to be honest.
It was an amazing night.
It was so much fun. And like on my like top five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
After though, I had to deal with the people that worked there, and they sent me this huge text saying that the crowd that, you know, we brought was punk-ish, and that this is what they led with.
Which is I'm sorry. You can't call me anything, but describe me and my girls as
punkish, girl.
And
punk-ish.
Even if there is punk people, like,
we love the punks. We love the
punks.
Yeah,
shout out the punks. Shout out the punks.
But I know all six of us, we be giving brats. Yeah. We be giving bimbos. You know.
But like, yeah, exactly. Punk. And I'm a punk in my own way, too. But yeah. I'm like not a punk in terms of what you mean. Like you're.
They need to call us weird. Yeah. They need to call us weird and like alternative.
Exactly. And, yeah. Like your stigmatized version of punk is like putting me in proximity to like aggression. You're putting me in proximity to like breaking shit around me, like
wrecking havoc and
like anarchist shit.
And
like,
that was not even the vibe. The vibe was dancing.
Yeah. But anyways, so they led with last night wasn't as what I expected, and we need to talk about the consequences. There's also a lot of damage that happened, and you need to cover the costs. So the opening message was about how I'm supposed to pay them something to cover what happened. And then you know what this bitch does? She sent I don't want to reveal the gender because I don't want to identify, but it is like a cis woman. So whatever. But she like sent me a picture of like a Sharpie like vandalism thing like on the toilet paper
and
holder.
It was small
and it was tiny. It was like I'm like, bitch, what kind of cost are you talking about? Like rubbing alcohol from the dollar store will take that shit right off. Like shut the fuck up. And then they were like, she was like, oh, and the DJ is like snuck in drinks and like that's your responsibility. And I'm like, no, the DJs drank out of this measly bottle that you gave us. Yeah. And also she was like, there were people vaping inside. And I'm like, that is not my issue. First of all, for this night, I was just a promoter.
That's why they have security and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I responded with. Yeah. I said, wait, if people are sneaking drinks in, isn't it security's fault for not making sure that this doesn't, you know, that drinks don't make it through the door? If people are vaping on the dance floor, like, I only have two eyes, girl. Like, there was 400 people there. Like,
and not only
just on the
just
second
on the
floor.
Yeah. Exactly.
On the second floor.
And I'm sorry, what kind of damages am I supposed to cover for these mundane, drunkenly issues that, like, I'm surprised you as a club promoter have never experienced.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, this is the first time that this has ever happened in 6 years of us opening. Oh, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, either you're trying to scam me or you just don't know how to do your job. Yeah. But there's no in between. Like either you're just horrible at what you do or you're just trying to money grab me with these small stupid issues, and you saw that that my party did well and that you saw an opportunity to make money off of me.
Because at first they didn't believe in your party, like you said. I think at first they didn't believe I would sell that much. No.
She like loved the idea of my party. She loved that there's like a new age queer trans like hardcore whatever it may be idea, but it was only till after the party that she really expressed the disappointment she had with the results. But I'm like, bitch, you're just clearly no fun. Like I think you just don't know what the tea is, and like. You're boring. You're just as boring as your club. And I think like that got it to your ego, and and the only way you know how to gain power over others is by money. Like, because that's the only thing you have in excess. Like that's it. Like, not personality, not character, not cunt, not fun. Like, you got money. Yeah. So speak your language, I guess. But bitch, I know how to speak mine. So, period.
No, exactly.
And one thing, she should understand that you're throwing your party, all right? You want to continue working with them. Why would you purposely try to not to be destructive in the club when clearly you're since the beginning, you've been working alongside with them. And I've seen you. You've been compromising for them.
Compromising for them. I've bent over backwards for their stupid,
and like, they dare such, to do
like,
that.
Stupid small rules that they weren't accommodating at all whatsoever, actually. But
and talk about downstairs, child. Talk about downstairs, girl. Child.
Let me not get too deep into it, but they were not cooperating. One of the things she said, actually, which really, really bothered me.
Yeah.
She called our crowd really aggressive, which I didn't understand whatsoever, because no one there was aggressive in any shape, way, or form. If anything, the people, especially specifically our crowd, our super colorful, beautiful crowd, was targeted by your staff, and they were being extremely aggressive to our people, and not like doing their job properly, not de-escalating and making situations calmer, but rather using aggression and violence and as a means to get people to do what they want them, which makes no sense to me. The moment I went to go pick up one of the DJs from downstairs, there was literally a dude who, like, from the other side of the club, like the part that we had nothing to do with. There was literally a dude punching the security guard because, like, he wanted to get his jacket, but he was acting up and he wanted to get his jacket and the security guard wasn't letting him in. So the dude swung at him, like, and they started going back and forth, the security guard and the dude, and they were fighting, literally punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so both your staff and your partygoers, your guests, like, are aggressive, and you're trying to pin this term on outrageous, like, are you serious?
You just have to go on their Google page, because, you know, my friend told me a few days ago, she was like, Miss Chris, you gotta your investigation and see what the streets are saying, and the Club Unity reviews are saying everything that you're saying. Pretty much, it's not the first time that people have to get to deal with some aggressiveness, some excessive force, you know, some excessive everything. So
yeah,
we're definitely not the first ones witnessing this.
And listen, you can go, but I was just gonna say, you know, it's not only those two clubs that we've been talking about for now. The problem in Montreal and why we're here is because literally this is a reoccurring fucking problem. And it's no shade. I don't want to be ageist or nothing. But I don't know why the young girls right now are making more sense. Because my thing is, y'all should be, y'all have been in the party industry for longer. You should be role models for younger party organizers, promoters, DJs, and the crowd on how to have a good club code.
Safe environment.
Very true. Very true.
And instead of doing that, you're being aggressive and you're trying to use young people for money. And like Monib said, and it's actually insane how many times.
It's so gross.
It's so gross.
And this is not to say, like, the community elders that we have. Well, not
exactly.
Elders.
Exactly. Not bad, everyone. That's such a
bad
term.
Well, not bad. Actually, there's nothing wrong with saying elders. But anyways, the people, the seniors of our community have paved the way for us, have paved the way for us. And, like, it's important to note that as well. Like, there's
but
a lot of.
But it's not them.
But it's not them who are causing these issues. Because, like it's the people who, like, we, like, club owners and stuff like that.
They're not the community.
The generation that owns the businesses.
People,
that's what I'm... The point is, it's not the elders of our community that are owning these clubs. It's older party organizers and party, like, not even organizers, owners. I should have used the word even better, because they're not even elders of our community. These people
no
don't know us.
Often there's no organizing going behind these events, and they just make you show up.
Exactly.
And you deal with whatever's there.
It's not even people from our... These are people that are just there to cash in.
Yeah.
We don't even know their last name, most of them.
Yeah.
And they don't pay. They're cheap as hell. Like when I was having a conversation with the person from that club, they were like asking me about how much I pay my DJs, and I expressed like, this is how much, and this is like I take care of flights and stuff like that, make sure they're good, like with an accommodation and stay. And she was surprised. She was like, that much? Really? For what? And she's like, I pay my DJ $200 for 6 hours, like, for the whole night. Ugh. I was like, $200 for the whole night?
Because she's not a DJ herself, and you guys are. So you guys
but,
know.
But yet again, these are people who are such, like, vigilant members of like the entertainment nightlife scene, but have absolutely no idea what it takes to be an artist in that in that scene, and like how much time and effort goes into that and what that's worth. Like they're literally just business bitches. Like it's nothing, like it's so crazy. It's all about business.
But I would disagree on one thing on that. They do know. To me, they do know. And not all of them, but these big clubs, you know why they do know?
What?
Because when they book someone from out of the city, it is not the same treatment.
Of course.
It is not the same treatment. And I'm not going to name no clubs because I do want to work with certain clubs. Like, you know what I'm saying? But there's certain clubs that I know of that, listen, they'll pay $200, $250 for the DJs that are local. And then they'll pay $750 USD for the other one that is not from here, which is okay. I think that's valid. Yeah. But $750 USD plus their flights plus accommodation. And it's like you ask for a taxi, you ask for more drinks tickets, and it's like, why are you asking for so much? Why are you being so much? Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, but you know what? It's because they also don't equate local art to how good, to how good other art, like art from overseas, a sensationalized art from overseas is. Like, if they paid the same attention to local artists and paid them the same amount, we'd have so much more access to become these great, like, big DJs who get flying all over the world and be paid and treated as such also. Like, it's
but it's like, definitely starting what you're saying. I see, especially,
you know what I mean, like
growing up here, I see it in a sense that it's so true, and it's even beyond them. It's just in a government way, like the way they decide to showcase who is a local artist, because that's my thing. What people don't know is that there's a lot of local artists here that are making some money, but it's very specific to who. The government is very specific as to who they decide to put on TV. They're very specific as to who they decide to give awards to give funding to give some type of, you know, legitimacy to their art form or anything. It's very specific. So it's so annoying that not only is the people and like the driving forces when it comes to the government, the funding and everything, but the actual street people that, you know, throw parties and host things and have clubs themselves, they still decide to give their full, and I'm choosing my words carefully, but they decide to give their full, you know, attention to who they think matter. Because if you're, once again, it's a vicious cycle.
Who matches the quota?
Exactly. Who matches the quota?
Who checks all the box on the criteria of like family friendly slash because
they be booking people from overseas, and I'm like, these people are not even as successful as the ones that are here. Some people that are here are twice as talented, twice as successful when you look at their streams and who listens to their music and how much parties they can sell out. But you'd rather get somebody from I don't know, girl, from Chicago, from Taiwan, because that person has all, you know, some, you know, some exoticism to them that they're from overseas or from somewhere else. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
What is this about?
And also, I mean, let's be real. We don't even need to talk about talent. We don't, besides talent and all of that, like, we're talking numbers. Most of the time when you're talking to clubs, they don't care that much. True. So you got to talk numbers. How much can you sell? How much tickets can you sell out the club?
Yeah.
And even if you have receipts, even if, all of that, they're still gonna doubt you. Yeah. They're still gonna doubt you.
And the thing you said about age, again, that's also one of the things that make them like not take you as seriously. Yeah. They see us as young people who with big dreams or whatever it may be, but they don't take us seriously because we're not as, let's say, experienced or reputable in their head or in their game. Yeah. But like, we can sell out a club. We've sold out a club a bunch of times. Like, where we have just as much like eligibility to do those things as anybody else. Oh, sorry, we're just as much capable as anybody else to do those things.
Exactly.
But we're just not taken as seriously because, you know, we're young and
we're like, queer, and we're actually queer,
and we're queer
also.
And trans, and like
and our voice doesn't, we can't talk too much, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of stuff that could be said on this show, but I feel like me and Mudeeb, we're looking at each other. We know we're like keeping some stuff in just because we don't have, we don't want to have certain repercussions of speaking too much, literally. Because it is what it is.
Just crazy in itself.
It is crazy. But at the end of the day, I feel like I always believe in like doing your own thing. Like, I don't need those people, to be honest. Like, that's the crazy part. But it, actually, no, that's a lie. We do need venues, because the thing is, especially you, Moni, because you've been doing Outrageous. And that's one of the reasons that I don't do party organizing that much in the city. I've done it a couple times, but there's just a lot of bad experiences with owners that I'm just like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So kudos for you to do that.
Thank
honestly.
You. But I mean, this is what we're here to talk about also, like, is our treatment and how, like, how strong we have to stay to make sure that our voice is heard and for people to take us seriously. Because I think that, like, when you underestimate the force of, like, queer and trans people, specifically queer and trans organizers who know what the tea is about, you will face our wrath if you treat us like shit. So don't underestimate the girlies.
And it's crazy how much the venues are, like, shortening. It was, like, there was a bunch of venues, and now it's, like, okay, another one is canceled.
Yeah.
Okay, another one is canceled. Like, oh, shit. Like, the one Mimi hosted the party at. Like, La Marche 2. Like, girl. Like,
shout out Miss Mimi Virus if you're listening.
Shout out to Mimi. Shout out to Mimi.
And stay tuned for the next La Marche 2 event. It's coming up soon. But listen, girls, we're going to take a little break, and I'm playing an unreleased song, a new song by my girl.
Miss
Musi Miglair. It's called Puppers. Listen up. Well, listen, I guess we're staying on the break. Honey, the song's not playing. Just give me one sec. Listen, we have more questions for you. And as for everyone that want to call, it's 514-448-4013.
Call us. Oh, my God. Please call. This is so much fun.
Yo, give us any questions. We're here for the tea, though.
And we need to know how you girls feel about it, how you girls feel about everything. Just give me one sec. There we go.
Poppers. This is a cappella. Poppers.
Pop.
Poppers. Pop. Poppers. Poppers. Pop. 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 Poppers. Pop. 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 Poppers.
We're looking for the song. Tell us about the new EP, though, because it's an unreleased song, is it?
Yes, it is an unreleased track. This is off my upcoming EP, Rockstar.
Yes.
Hopefully dropping in June or sometime in the summer. Is it to be announced? Yes, TBA. But yes, this is my first project that I've produced myself and my first musical project outside of DJing. Kind of my new venture around, like, the music industry, I guess. But I feel like, and I'm excited to kind of, like, put DJing on the side for just a little bit, because it feels more myself when I produce. I feel like I'm able to use sound as a reflection of my emotions more precisely as a producer.
Yeah.
So, this EP is very much my, like, thoughts, my expression, my feelings. And each track has its own story of why I made it and how I made it. Like, one of the tracks is called Drunk, which you'll hear when it's out, but I'm sorry, I'm having seltzer and I'm, like, really gassy.
Girl, take your time. Shout out to
like, I keep burping off the mic.
Shout out to the people that donated those seltzers.
Oh,
quite
The Pomelo. The Pomelo seltzer is so good.
Exactly.
Right. But yeah.
ASMR.
The song Drunk actually was Sayana, who right here sitting across from me. I was talking to Sayana on the phone, and I was telling her how I never she was telling me how she's, like, at home drunk off a bottle of wine just by herself.
No, that's not what I said, Sha. I said I like a glass of wine at home when I produce.
Anyways, so I was like, oh, I've never done that before. And then I had a bottle of wine and got drunk by myself in my house.
And talking about this song and the creation, honey, I think the song is ready to be played.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, let me just finish. I got drunk and I made that song. Yeah. And that was how I felt drunk in music. So,
And it's my favorite one.
And it's called Drunk, but you'll hear in the summer. This one's called Poppers, and it's how poppers feel in sound.
Tune up, people. There we go.
Wait, there was some technical difficulties that didn't play correctly. Two tracks were playing at the same time on top of each other, I think.
I'm going to give my girl a rightful debut.
Yes, Miss Honey. Let them know from start to end.
Just give me one sec. Vesana, tell me more. Because you also mentioned, when you mentioned for you, your business idea and your business venture. Tell us about it, because I think people still can donate, right? You're still taking donations and stuff?
Of course, I'm taking donations. I'm actually working a lot. You're going to have updates real soon. I made my goal, thank you. I do need more coins, though, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Starting a business
give us your money.
Is crazy. But, I mean, I am good for now, so give to GoFundMes that are, like, really important right now, low-key.
Give them your money.
But, no, it's been good. So my project is ZMTL. It's going to be basically a DJ studio where there's going to be club equipment. For now, I have an ex-DJ. We're working on the CDJ to get one at some point. But basically, you can rent on an hourly fee as well as having classes with me. And there's going to be more instructors coming very soon, probably. And so basically, you'll be able to take classes and also just rent the equipment if you want by the hour to just practice and record mixes. With that is going to come really just teaching and giving back to youth free programs. And anyways, I think they're ready for the song, so I'll just talk about it a bit later during the show.
But don't forget to give the place where they can donate and everything. Do you have a link or it's on your Instagram still, right?
Yeah. But I'll talk about it after.
Perfect. All right. Puffers, everyone. Now let's give it. Are back. That was Poppers with my good sis Musi Mugler.
Poppers.
How does it feel to hear it on the radio? To hear it on the radio.
Oh, it feels great. It feels crazy. I hope it's been received the way it feels.
I feel like it too. But listen, Sana, before I let you continue, I just realized we have a question coming from Miss Brendan Mott.
Ooh, so hello, basically
she's
Brandon.
Saying hi. You know, she's a bit under the weather right now, so she's sending us a little message. But she's just saying that basically she's about to work with a new venue, and she's extremely excited about that, and that they've expressed an interest in hosting queer events and being queer friendly. So that makes her want to trust them and everything. But the question is, for the three of us, well, that's mostly for the two of y'all, because I don't be in that kind of business. I go to the parties, I don't throw them. But the situation is, what are the questions we need to be asking these venues to make sure they hold up their claims before agreeing to work with them? So what are the things that you guys think of when you get with some working with a venue?
Okay, so because there's so many types of venues, there's illegal venues, there's real venues, there's the big clubs. Mm-hmm. One thing, ask, and that's gonna sound crazy, ask them if they have an alcohol permit.
That
changes everything.
Start with there. Yeah. Start with there. Because you need to know if it's BYOB or if they have alcohol there. And Monim knows why I'm saying that, child. Anyway.
Been there, done that, honey.
There's some clubs that have faked their alcohol. Bitch.
It was so crazy. I'm not going to say what and where, but there was like a full ass bar at this underground venue selling non-alcoholic beer for $6. And they didn't disclose that they didn't have an alcohol, that they don't have an alcohol license. And everybody was just like acting drunk off $6 non-alcoholic beer. Like it was nothing. And we're like, it's Saturday night, bitch. Like
bamboozled.
Right. Like if I wanted non-alcoholic beer, I'd be my family barbecue. Like,
right.
Girl, like.
Yeah. You need to ask about capacity and also the door if they keep for the profit. Tell them about the profit, child, because how they separate it.
Well, yeah, some venues like always decide to take a percentage of profits, and sometimes that percentage is a bit unfair. So make sure you're like strong in your stance about the money that you need for to pay your artists respectfully. Mm-hmm. Another tip that I always give out is speak to the staff directly. Don't just communicate with the promoter or like the booker. Have a conversation with the security guards and tell them like, these are the people that are coming, and this is how you should act when these people are around. And you need to be super cautious of this all night long, because, you know, like, you don't want to overstep in anyone's boundaries. And as a security guard, you know, oftentimes y'all tend to, right? Like, have a conversation with the bar people. Have a conversation with I don't know, like everyone, all the staff, let them know what the tea is.
Yeah,
give them a rundown of what you're doing. Give them a rundown of the type of people that are coming, and give them a rundown.
Can we talk about that? Yeah, because sometimes I feel like they have no idea who they're dealing with.
Yeah.
Not in the sense that, you know, we're about to knock if you buck, but simply in the sense that you should know what crowd is coming to your party.
Yeah.
But that's why an important question is,
high key,
you know,
what do you host? What kind of parties do you host? Mm-hmm. What is this venue for?
Yeah. But like you said, but also like you said, Chris, like they have no idea who's coming. Yeah. And oftentimes like our community, our scene is so loud and colorful and vibrant, like, but so peaceful and so gentle and loving. Right. But that look is so intimidating to like bar owners and promoters sometimes that oftentimes when they act like crazy is like. Like stemming from like surprise or fear from that community. It's like I've never handled these types of people before, so I think I'm gonna like be on one right now, because like I have no other idea how to act.
They don't know where to stand. Exactly.
Yeah, their behavior stems from their like
ignorance, almost
shock, or it's ignorance. It's literally ignorance. But explain. Let them know beforehand. Heads up.
Yeah, there's a lot, because there's also honestly, if my thing is because you also go off with the vibe. Again, there's so many things you want to ask to the club people, you know what I mean, that own the club. But because a lot of the times the bullshit is going to come after the party. It's never going to come before.
That's true.
Sometimes actually it comes before, but most of the time it's after the party. Then it's going to be like, oh, I found baggies of drugs in your bathroom. And it's like, have you never hosted a party before? Like, I am sorry, but this is out of my control.
And
like,
not only that, for all the tapping and dabbing and looking in your purse that they'd be doing at the entrance, you would think they would find those baggies before we get in the club.
But also, why?
Yeah,
well, not only why, but I'm like, because, you know, I'm a girl with a nice purse. I like to have my purse full of everything. You know, I like to go out for the night. And it's always an issue of me having to push the concealer, push this, that, push this. And I'm like, you're doing this with everyone that has a purse. How come you still complain about what you're not? At some point, you're letting people go in. You're not doing your job, right?
And people are going to come in with it regardless.
Exactly.
Like whatever.
I'm trying to think of other things.
But you know, another tip that, yeah, it was a really good question. Uh-huh. Thank you. Shout out, Brandon. Another thing that I recently picked up actually from one of my dear friends,
yeah,
Polly Cakes, who was just here, yes, playing for Outrageous.
Love for
shout out Polly Cakes.
Aren't they playing in Toronto also, for people that, yes, are going to Toronto?
Yes, they are, but I don't know if it's been announced yet.
Oh,
but,
well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. But they actually showed me a contract that they're also a community organizer. Yeah. They run a collective, X Cakes. In New York City, and they wrote up contracts that between them and the artists and them and the space that help, you know, that's identify smart, all the different criteria of the different things that they need from the venue, from the DJs, from the, you know, host, from whatever it may be, so that it's clear and cut and written down in paper and that there's no going around anything. And I think oftentimes we're like afraid of like being like writing up like contracts and, yeah, stuff like that, or like going to that
with demand,
but we should,
yeah, going that far, it seems like such a far away thing, but no, like
it's needed.
We have the right to write up contracts, yeah, and like we can demand our needs from these places, because at the end of the day we are the ones paying for the space,
exactly,
and we are the ones paying for their rent, their bars, their whatever it may be. We're bringing the people, you, yeah, know. The owner is just one person, but we're bringing 400, 500, 600, right?
Oh, and so, oh yeah, there's a bunch of things. I don't know.
So be vigilant. Tell them what you need. Like, yes, don't be afraid to go there. Don't be afraid, yeah, to tell them what you want.
Speak up for,
like,
yourself, yeah.
And if they try to use fear tactics against you to pin you down or tell you that it's not, yeah, the tea,
what do you
then
do?
Don't work with them.
Exactly.
But if you need to work with them, I mean, cooperation is also, find a medium. But
yeah,
remain strong in your stance. Tell them what's up. Tell them, negotiate. I don't know.
But also, one thing that I do want to mention, because I remember talking to Mother L about it, just as to there was so many other venues, right? Back in the days, there was just so many other places. But my thing is, I know this year, and I'm begging right now, these people are out here listening. You know, if you still have some property in the city, if you still have a place, some money, some something for the girls, give us a call. The girls are trying to party, and you know how hard it was back then. Imagine post-COVID. And we're not even post-COVID yet. So just, yeah, oh, so just picture it.
The girls are trying to party, but the girls are also trying to make their money.
Make their money and also throw
There's
events.
A whole actual industry around that, yes, that we can... The city can benefit.
Yes.
The DJs can benefit.
Artists. People, the artists promoters. Can perform. Like,
everyone.
People need to work. People need to be able to let all of this out, do you know, they're everything out and just have fun and be themselves. We need spaces like that, and we need your help.
Yeah. We're trying to, you know, cook a cake and everyone has a slice type of beat. So
eat the cake anime, say eat the cake anime.
I'm just like, no, but honestly, let's talk about that too, because we've met with city officials.
That's
right.
True.
Oh my
we
God,
have
that's
talked
true.
To city. We have been invited.
Yeah. Where did that lead?
To conferences with city.
Taking matters into our own hands and just doing it for ourselves. As nothing. It always does.
That right.
I'm right. Like, it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
We met up with those city counselors, whatever. What should we do? What should we do? And the thing is called, should I say even? Because honestly, I feel bad because the person that wrote this project.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it, whatever. Because I do think that the person that wrote this project is probably really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have it at heart. But it's the people with the funding. It's the people
in power,
they don't understand how much money they can make. And and honestly, yes, I'm gonna mention money, because this is what makes the world go round. Okay. When you talk with them, it's about money, it's about also safety, it's about people that buy condos, it's all about that. And so we have given them so many ways of making Montreal a 24-hour city,
yeah,
where you can party. And Montreal has been the party city where people travel here to party,
yeah,
for so long. And so, okay, yeah, go ahead with the question.
Yeah, we have another question coming from, I hope I pronounce it right, Gizlan. And also they're giving a bunch of shout outs. Monib, they love Outrageous, they're new to the city, never had a bad experience yet. And Sana, they're really shouting you out for your transparency and what you've done for the community. The question is, what can the community do collectively to secure better venues and avoid forcing party organizers to charge high prices because of stingy venue owners? Do you guys have an answer to that? Because that's a pretty good question, but you know, you have to know, you have to have power almost.
Show up.
That's what I was going to say,
yeah,
support.
Show up and support.
Because this is a job at the end of the day, like it's a skill that you have to put things together, and like a select amount of people are going to like, do it, right? It's just a job just as much as like anything else. So and like anything, support from people all around you will help the person doing that job do so much better. So support. I think it'll help push people to but in terms of securing venues, I don't know, to be honest, because we can't rally in front of a venue and ask them to give us the space.
That's actually going to make them less want to work with us. So that's why the only thing is show up in numbers, because what they look at the end of the day, a club is a business. So make they look at numbers and make us let's talk about that. Please don't act a fool in a club. Do not act a fool in the club. It's okay if you're drunk. Drink water. And when it comes to, and I'm not even talking about substance, because we all have those nights where we're like too much at the club. But I'm talking about wild behavior that is not acceptable at a club, and they don't understand that this is on the DJs after. This is on the organizers after. This is on the people there. You bringing alcohol pre-drink.
That's one thing I do. That's one thing I do want to mention, because people don't understand. Like, for example, when that person said that the DJs would bring alcohol, we all knew it was a lie, because we were all with the DJs that night. I was with Sana, I was with Polly, I was with everyone. Me and Sana left the alcohol at home, right? Because we knew not to play that.
We knew, because also we want to work there. We want to, you know.
But and exactly, and like the fact that she tried to pin that on us, like, just makes no sense. I'm like, that's the security's fault. It's not our fault. But another thing about like making sure like we look good is take care of your friends. Make sure your friends are drinking water. Make sure your friends are controlling their substances and what they take and the amount that they take, and that there doesn't have to be a huge cost scene around someone who did it a little bit too much.
Under friends, but also that's one, just to point it out and stuff, under friends, but also people, the party is going to keep on going. There's probably going to be an after. You don't need to do it all at once at the very beginning. Pace it out. Like, you know, pace it out. For real. We're going to be here for a long time.
Honey, we all have phones, honey. Put a timer on.
You don't put a timer on it. Like, just because I understand, especially now with COVID, we're so happy to be back, honey. It makes you feel like you want to do the whole alphabet, honey. The C, the E, the Z, the X, the all of it at once. But how do you pace it out? Because I love y'all also. But on that note, let's play you guys' new song.
Unreleased. And by the way, I just need, before you play it,
go ahead.
It is not finished, the mix and mastering. So y'all are hearing like it's raw.
It's all raw. Surprise. It's all gift.
Bareback.
Raw.
But it's me and Sayana's first collab.
Yeah, it's gonna be on my new stuff. It's one of my new songs. I produced it, composed it, and Monib hopped on. So give it up.
We're gonna be playing it soon. But also, I got a message that allegedly the phone line is not working, but people can give it a call also. Oh, we're working on it. But you can also send me an email at askmisschris@ckut.ca.
And but try calling.
Try calling.
Hey, if you haven't tried calling, try calling right now.
Left on red, Sana and Munib. Like I don't call this age, well I'm 80 and I'm visual, take a flight on. Left You on Red by Sana and Miss Muneeb sitting right alongside me at CKUT. So, girls, tell me about this song. Tell me about the lyrics and everything. Let's have a rap genius
let
moment.
Let me tell you about the song when I made it. So, I made the song back. So, that song, the little dun 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 dun. Mm-hmm. I actually created that back in summer. So, I went to New York August 27. Shout out Ava. Shout out and Puke Club Carrie, yes. Y'all already know. So she booked me in New York. I was on my way back and I was just so busy in August with so many sets, so many everything. And I had been through a breakup a couple months before. I was trying dating, but honestly, again, like I was so busy with sets that guys would get annoyed that I would basically never answer the message. Yeah. So, and I think, like, as trans girls, like, a lot of people, like, as a trans girl, like, there's a lot of people that think, like, my life is basically about sex because they don't know me and they don't even know that I do art because I didn't necessarily tell them. So they literally think my life is just about sex. And so, basically, like, because of that, they think I'm not answering because of them, but I'm leaving you on red because I have to get this bread. In New York. So I was coming back from New York and a guy was annoying me and I was like, leave, you want bread? Yep, gotta get this bread. Cocaine and club, like it's a New York City night. And it's about also my Montreal club girl thing. Yeah. Drunk in the Uber, stripper dress from St. Hubert because bitch, Saint-Hubert, Plaza Saint-Hubert, you know, je vais aller acheter une robe là-bas, une robe sexy, you know, chez les Colombiennes.
They have the real skanky stuff.
Yes. So,
and wait, talking about Saint-Hubert, shout out to Miss Vicky and the girls at Rivera Beauty, honey. If you want to get your lashes done, if you want to get your hair done, you go there, you say Miss Chris sent you.
Or Sayana. Exactly. Vicky, Sayana, and Rivera Beauty, I'll give it to Chris.
Oh, yes.
And so basically, yeah, it's just like, it's about that. And then when I made it, well, my club sister who I work with, my fellow DJ, is Mossy Mugler, Moni. So it was just right for her to, you know, to be on the track.
Yeah. Yes.
And so,
Moni, tell me about your part of the song.
I mean, Sayana has more of like a storytelling visual experience, but I just kind of went stupid with the lyrics.
It was real cunt.
Thank you. I was just like, I don't know. I wrote it in 5 minutes in Chris's kitchen, like with Sayana sitting there, and I was just like, okay, what is this rhyme with? And I tried to put a Nicki spin on it, and
oh
I was like,
oh my god, the calls are. Well, listen.
There's calls
and there's a question. Do you want to keep on going on your lyrics?
Can I explain one verse? Yeah, this is my favorite verse from the
thing. Stay on the line. We're getting to you. Go ahead.
All about this cash. Rich, rich, all about that class. I'm a bottom, but I got no sass. I'm trans, but I do not pass. A. And I think that just encompasses, like, my vibe at, like, my rich passing vibe, like, with my fake Rolex on my arm. And, like, I'm a bottom, but I got no sass. I'm trans, but I do not pass. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know, expressing myself, but it still really stupid. Nice. Anyways, I'm excited to take the calls.
All right. So, what part of you people still on the line don't you understand? We're going to get to the question that was sent on the Ask Miss Chris email, but you better call back.
Call on the line.
But listen, there's somebody called Heather. They have a question for us.
Oh.
So basically, they're Heather, wondering. Hi. Yeah, you know, remote access.
Yeah, I know Heather. Yeah.
Hello.
So they're asking. Oh, sure. Now there's a question. So while we're figuring out and putting you guys on the line, we're still going to go with Heather's question. So the question is, they're wondering what y'all think about ways we can, as queer trans community, increase our negotiating power, both locally and internationally, and having more of a formalized DIY bookie agencies vibes. I mean, that goes with what we said earlier. I think we answered that.
Mm-hmm. And it's a skill, yeah. Like being strong in your stance, I think. Like making sure you keep eye contact, making sure you make sure the other person feels that you're serious about your work. It's a skill that you have to learn and develop over time. It's not something that, and some people are just born with it, to be completely honest, mm-hmm. but it is achievable. But I don't know what would you recommend they work on to gain that?
Yeah. Cause I think Heather is kind of asking, what can we do as a group? And I do think could be a thing. Like, I do think that collectively, like, we could, but the thing is, to be honest, I think the real solution is to have our own club. Mm. Y'all, the people that party in with us that have secret trust fund, please come to me.
Right?
Because I got plans. Yeah. Yo, child, we can do 50-50 on profits. You know what I'm saying? Yes. No, I'm joking.
To be real,
when we're saying allies,
yeah.
Like, I mean, like, yo, like, I'm trying to open a club.
But wait, Sana, we have one question. Let's get to the phone.
Okay. Hit me up for the trust fund.
What's good? Tell me something good. I'll tell you something better. What's going on?
Hi, girls.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, so first of all, congrats. This is so fun to listen and super informative.
Thank you.
I wanted to hop in something that me and Monique texted about earlier today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was about Outrageous, and especially the event, the Outrageous Bloodbath in Toronto, for ooh, Halloween.
That was
and
else.
how that club experience was felt so organized and also super smooth. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that is a straight club, and then when we come back to Montreal and go in a place that should be open to people, to queer people, and should embrace everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that same type of experience. So do you feel like it's related to the city or the organization, or it's just the club culture, depending on a different city or.
That's a good question. With the what we did in Toronto for Halloween, shout out Chippy Nonstop, shout out Kareem, shout out Pepper Alley. There was a bunch of people on that team organizing that party, and there was a lot of people behind things, making sure it's super organized and well put together. But, you can come across people who are shitty wherever you go, right? Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a Montreal problem that all owners are shitty. But the best we could do is just, give people a heads up about how to be when working with these kinds of people to make sure you get what you need out of them. I don't know what there's shitty club owners everywhere. Seems like just a shitty job, to be
honest. I agree. I think there's shitty club owners everywhere in the world, right? But one thing that I have to say about Montreal that is specific to here is the budget,
right?
Because I do think in Montreal they lowball a lot, and they don't give as much money. That's the thing that's different. Club owners everywhere, it's always been a low-key shady business. But in Montreal, the disrespect of the rates and the disrespect of the money they take.
Stay on the line.
Okay.
You guys, we need to stay on. You have to have faith. Not you, baby. Not you. You're good. But the person calling, thank you, baby.
I'm gonna go. Thank you so much.
Bye, we'll Hugo.
Bye.
But yes, let me tell something to my viewers and my listeners and my auditors and all of it. When I say have faith in me, that means you have to keep on the line when I'm talking to somebody else. You can't just you have to have faith and patience. Anytime, any place, like Janet said. But listen, girls, this was an now you're listening. All right, next caller.
Quick things.
And it's starting.
Hey, tell me something good. I'll tell you something better.
Now, who this?
Speak up, baby. Yeah, we can hear you. Go
ahead. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Hi, auntie.
Familiar voice.
Hello, I'm just a young lady, and I have a question for you girls.
Go ahead.
I'm just curious what you think about, somebody that you would be in community with and them dating somebody that you might have already had relations with, and your thoughts on being in community with people that you aren't currently dating and how you navigate that.
Well, listen, this is first of all, because, you know, I have 1 minute, so I'm going to try to wrap it up real quick. When it comes to Montreal, because I can speak for my city, most likely everybody has dated everybody here. Mm-hmm. You know, you think your man is new in town. Your landlord dated your man 5 years ago.
Fact.
Your landlord was married to that man once upon a time. Mm-hmm. So I would say you really, first of all, have to be open. You know, I'm big on transparency. Be open. Communicate with your partner if these are things that you'd like to know. Because I would hate to be, I've been that girl. I went with a nigga once. Five niggas in that party I fucked.
And communicate with the other girl.
And communicate with the other girl.
Talk about it.
Now, you see, I don't date in the community. No, I do. I do. But I try to stay away from the club. Anyways, wrap it up, Chris. But
yeah, so transparency as usual. And on that note, I will see you guys and beautiful people next week.
This was Masi Mugler and
Bye, Star.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.
Thank you. My name is Sarah. It's not
Sarah. Sarah, California.
Yes, Sarah.
Oops, that was loud.
Oh, that was fun.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio. We've got a special interview today with Mar from the musical project For Esme. But before we share this interview, it is the CKUT funding drive, and we want to take a look back at Dragon Root and CKUT over the years. My name is Hannah. I've been hosting Dragon Root on and off since 2011, along with several other collective members. I started at CQT in my undergrad at McGill. I was a super shy kid.